You know what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this?
Any of them savvy English?
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes.
I can see things no one else can see.
Obviously, I'm not saying that I've been everywhere and I've done everything.
It's all in the reflexes.
Welcome to It's All in the Reflexes, podcast all about the greatest movie ever made, John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China. I'm Luke, that's all you really need to know about me, but I'm a super fan of this movie, and that's why I started a fan page on Instagram at Bigger Trouble in Little China. Also go to patreon.com/biggertrouble or follow the link in the description of this episode, or go to Instagram and follow the link in my bio at Bigger Trouble in Little China. So let's get started, and welcome to It's All in the Reflexes.
Well, you just stare that big sucker right back in the eye, and you remember what old Jack Burton always says at a time like that. Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir, the check is in the mail.
Come on over here and fight like a man. Jack Burton and Wang Chi have broken into the Wing Kong Trading Company looking for Mao Ying, and they found their way to this elevator. It starts to fill up with water. They escape and they find themselves in the hell of the upside down sinners. They fight their way through the skeletons, climb on some chains and look up, and we see rain looking down on them. That's where I'm starting it from there. Jack and Wang are tortured by rain before they are taken to see David Lopan, old David Lopan in a wheelchair, where he asks lots of questions about Mao Ying. He gets really annoyed when Gracie Law, Eddie Lee and Margot turn up. And that's at 42 minutes and 29 seconds. So just over 4 minutes I'm going to be talking about on this episode. You have Jack Burton, Wang Chi looking up at rain from above them for like a grate. And he's in a room. We don't know where he is. But then we cut to they're being tortured. I always imagined it was that room where he was standing, where Rain was standing down looking on Jack Burton and Wang Chi, that was where they were torturing them from. But I've had a closer look. I paused it and had a closer look, and it's a completely different room. So they are taken to this, it's like a furnace room, it looks like. Lots of pipes, maybe something on the floor. It looks like stones, but I'm guessing maybe it was coal. Couldn't quite see what it was. So we cut to Rain, and all we see is his hand like moving really quickly towards Jack Burton, who's on the other side of the room. And then Jack Burton is hit by something, we don't see what it is yet, in the stomach, and he kind of bends over and falls to the ground. And then Rain goes back to Wang Chi, who is still in the wheelchair, and he just kind of shakes his head. There are two other Wing Kong hatchet men in the background we see here. Jack Burton stands up. He's ready for a fight. He come on over here and fight like a man. You know, he wants a real fight. He doesn't want all this sort of, you know, he would just rather a straight up fight with Rain, and he reckons he's about to win. But he also wants to protect his friend. You know, he's all the time that they are punching him or doing something to him, they're not focusing on Wang. That's how I look at it anyway. So come on over here and fight like a man. Rain just looks at him, holds up his hand, and then appears like a magician, a red ball. Before this scene, if you do pause it, you can see that there are red balls already on the floor, about five or six of them, but you don't know that's what's been hitting him in the stomach. The first time, you just don't really see what it is. It's almost like a phantom punch from across the room. But there's a great shot because the camera comes up right behind Rain's hand, and then you see the ball there, and he just flies straight towards Jack Burton. And this, I guess it's a very hard ball, and it hits him in the stomach, and it hurts. So then Rain takes off his hat, and we see his long hair. So his hair was actually, whose Rain is played by Peter Kwan, and it's a wig that he's wearing, and he wanted to. It was his idea to wear a wig. It cost $3,000 to make this wig, and it was in a three parts, I believe, because he has like these really long sideburns, like Elvis sideburns almost. And yeah, just to make him look a bit different. So then we cut to another room, a corridor, and Rain has changed his clothes. So he's now in a suit, black suit, really nice black suit, with a red shirt and a stripy tie. And he is walking in front of Jack and Wang, who are in wheelchairs, being pushed along by two of the Wing Kong hatchet men. So that he walks straight, Rain walks straight towards these double doors, and they open for him by themselves. So automatic doors open for him, and he's in the, they enter the room with the golden statues, the golden Buddhas. And then this bit always worried me. I don't know why, I was a kid, I just couldn't understand how they could do it. It was not, Rain pulls out a knife and he cuts away the blindfolds. So I always imagined, I know it's acting and I know it's movie set, but I couldn't figure out if it was actually a real knife so they could cut the blindfolds. But you couldn't really, even if you kind of put a knife down someone's face in between the blindfold and the someone's face, someone's cheek, and cut it off, even though it's quite a dangerous thing to do. But I'm guessing it was a fake knife and the blindfolds were probably velcroed on the back to come off. But as a kid, I was like, oh no, how do they do that? Then Rain walks away and Wang doesn't like the look of this. Jax wants to know where they are. So Rain has gone to make a phone call, picks up an old fashioned black phone on the side of the room, and we then hear him speak. You are nowhere. Great line, great performance from Peter Kwan here. And when you don't get many lines, you got to make them count. And it's really well done. So then we see two on the other side of the room, different doors that Rain came through. We see two doors open automatically and old Lo Pan on a automatic wheelchair rolls into the room. Now he's really old. James Hong didn't like the makeup. It was very tight on his skin. The first time they did it, it took like about 10 hours to put it on. But I think they managed to get that time down with the more filming. But it didn't really like being in that makeup. It was not surprising. He rolls past the CCTV monitors. One of them isn't working. It's just sort of wavery lines. Jack and Wang are confused. They were expecting David Lo Pan, the one they saw in the street, the one that they hit with the, that Jack Byrne hit with the truck. So now Rain just gives Lo Pan a nod and then leaves through the doors that he entered from. But they don't automatically close, so he has to close the doors behind him. Jack looks at Lo Pan. Oh boy. He's like, what the hell is going on here? So he kind of goes, he says something to him. He says, oh boy, David, we're looking here, we're looking for David Lo Pan. And Lo Pan just puts his hand to his ear. What? Like, the old man can't hear what it says. And Jack just goes straight into talking louder, like as if he was just talking to an old guy. He starts, David Lo Pan. We want to see David Lo Pan. Like, he's not scared at all at this point. And he's captured, him and Wang are captured. They're tied to wheelchairs. But Jack wants to see Lo Pan and thinks that he can talk his way out of this. So Jack doesn't understand what's going on. He's like, what the hell? What's going on here? And I don't get this at all. And shut up, Mr. Burden. You were not put on this world to get it. A great line. And then we get a little bit more information about his background. And he sort of talks and he's like, Jack Burden's just, he's watching him the whole time, just trying to sum him up, you know, trying to understand. He doesn't believe at all what Lo Pan is saying at all. And he's just trying to work his way out what he's saying. He's quite probably thinking that he's delusional, he's just an old man, but he thinks there's something that he might be able to learn from this. So Lo Pan goes off, you know, there are many mysteries and unanswerable questions, even in a life as short as yours. Where's my truck? Jack still wants to find his truck, but Lo Pan's like, you're not here for a truck, you're here for a girl with green eyes. So Lo Pan moves closer to Wang. He wants to get some information about Mao Ying. He kind of goes, she must be something extraordinary. I haven't spent 2,000 years looking for her. So, and Jack Byrne's like, yeah, there can't be many Chinese girls with green eyes, and there are none. You know, there are very few. Jack Burns doesn't believe it at all. And he's saying, and he kind of goes, well, beggars can't be choosers. But Lopan is angry. I'm not a beggar. I can be choosing. So he moves even closer to Wang. So he wants to find out about Mao Ying. He's like, he wants to know what province in China she is from. And he guesses Hunan. And Hunan is a landlocked province of People's Republic of China, part of the central China region, located in the middle reaches of the Yangtze watershed. And the name Hunan literally means south of the lake. So it must, and this, the area of Hunan first came under Chinese rule around 350 BC, when the province was became part of the state of Zhou. See, things you can find out on the internet. But yes. But Lopan still's asking Wang questions. He wants to know about her mother and her father. So there must be some sort of... He wants to know more about the ritual. So he must almost need this information before he goes further on with the spell or something, or to try and break the curse. So he kind of goes, he must be a holy man. So he thinks her father must be a holy man. Jack's like, well, just ask her herself. Why you've got her captured? Why aren't you talking to her? But at this point, they don't know that she is hovering in another room, suspended off the floor, asleep. At this point, he also sort of threatens Wang in Chinese. So he starts talking in Chinese to Wang, who can understand it and can understand him. And also turns to Mr. Burton. I love how he calls him Mr. Burton. Doesn't call him Jack, but calls him Mr. Burton. If you have any influence over your youthful friend, you better exert it now. Otherwise, I will send you both to the hell where people are skinned alive. It's as simple as that. And Jack's like, are you crazy? Is that your problem? We then get some more, but he starts to describe himself here. And I'm watching this on the computer and like listening to it more closely and watching the scene over again before I do the podcast. I have it also have the subtitles on. And it's a great way to get some more information about this film than you would normally do if you're just sort of watching it, you know, on the TV. He starts to describe Lopan, starts to talk about himself, and he describes himself as a young man, a king. He is a king, a warrior, but he's entombed in this old man's crippled body. And all he needs is a woman with dragon green eyes to break the curse, to make him whole again, to make him whole, to make him young again, so that he may rule the universe from beyond the grave. He has to Shang Tai, the god of the east, which confuses Jack, and he thinks that he's talking about himself. But no, that's Lopan's. He says that's my demon. Describes it as my demon, the god I must appease in order to regain my heart, my blood. A girl with green eyes to satisfy Shang Tai. A brave girl. A girl brave enough to survive the naked blade. I will marry her to make Chang Tai happy, and my curse will be lifted. Jack breaks in here. You can go off and rule the universe from beyond the grave. Indeed. Or check into a psychar world. So he's not over going to just take over the world. He doesn't say you're going to go off and rule the world or rule Earth. He's going to take over the whole universe. So Jack doesn't believe any of this. He's like 2,000 years and you can't find one broad that fits the bill. Dave, you must be doing something seriously wrong. It's almost like dating advice, like you would be sitting in a pub talking to somebody about, oh, come on, you can find someone, he's too picky. You know, you must be doing something really wrong. But we find out there have been others. So in many years this has been going on, but he hasn't found the right one. And kind of a little bit talks about Jack's background here. He kind of goes, you seem to be someone who knows the difficulties between men and women. Don't know if that's because he's single, or we kind of feel like Jack has had a wife. He does say, you know, like I told my last wife. I never know if he's just making that up. In the comic books, spoilers alert, he does have a wife. Spoilers. And I think she dies. She gets she's ill and she dies, and that's kind of a reason why he doesn't kiss Gracie Law at the end of the movie, people have said, because he kissed his wife, was the last person he kissed was his wife when she died. I believe that's what how it works in the comic books. You know, he go back to Lopan, he's kind of like, we keep trying like fools, and it really is just like he keeps trying this dating thing, like fools, and maybe he'll get the right one. When he's talking, you now can see that the CCTV monitor behind him started working. It's got a clear picture, and you can see Gracie Law, Eddie Lee and Margot at the front desk of the Wing Kong Trading Company trying to get in. And Lopan sees this and wants to know who these people are. Friends of yours? Now this really pisses me off to no end. I love that line. Now this really pisses me off to no end. So Lopan's gone. He wants to go away. He can't be bothered with any of this anymore. He's got to go and deal with these people. So there, Wang and Jack are saying, trying to get him to stay. Stay, you know, Jack's saying stay. And Wang's trying to find out, well, where Mao Yang is. And Lopan actually tells him, actually says, in this building. He actually says, in this building, and she is safer with me than any creature on earth. Doors open, and Lopan leaves. And that's where I'm stopping it. And that's 42 minutes and 29 seconds of this fantastic movie. I also listened to the commentary between on the DVD between John Carpenter and Kurt Russell over this. And they're kind of still talking about the whole acting process. And they're talking about different people's acting ability and how they deal with it. And a bit later on in the commentary, Kurt Russell was talking about his career and talking about he hasn't had any really hits. It seems strange looking back at it now, but at this time in his career, he hadn't really had a big hit except for Escape from New York. And he was almost sort of contemplating sort of giving up. He was, now looking back at it, you think, well, hang on, you've done The Thing, you've done Escape from New York, did the Elvis movie. He did but some of these, like Swing Shift when he met Goldie Hawn. But none of these films had made really any money. And I think it's Silkwood he did as well. So he hadn't really done any. There hadn't really been hits at their time, made money. I mean, The Thing has gone on to be one of the greatest movies of all time. My favourite, second favourite John Carpenter and Kurt Russell movie is The Thing. And but at the time, he hadn't really had any hits. I mean, I always remember him when I was growing up. It was probably Overboard. That was one of their favourites. And also, like, big fan of Big Trouble. But I had never really put the actor together when I was a kid. You kind of watch a film and you kind of believe that they're just that character. You think that's Jack Burton. And then you think that's the character from Overboard. But just thought he was like a really big star making all these big movies. Because after, when I was growing up, we then got Tango and Cash, you know, Stargate, all those sort of things. But at this time, he really wasn't that big of a star making that, which I always find strange. Also, he did went and did Captain Ron, and he did that just to, because he can, because he could, and because he could do some fun with it. And then I think doing these different roles like To Kill a Sunrise really kind of made his career. I mean, I look at him and go, well, yeah, he was the big star of Big Trouble in Little China, so that moved him on to a really big film, Overboard. But doesn't work that way. Hadn't worked that way at the time anyway, as they are living through it. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed this part of the movie. It's one of my, well, I always say this is one of my favourite scenes, but the whole movie is one of my favourite scenes. So thank you for listening.
If you want to contact me, email me at biggertroublepodcasts@yahoo.com. biggertroublepodcasts@yahoo.com. It would be great to hear from you. Also go to patreon.com/biggertrouble or follow the link in the description of this episode, or go to Instagram and follow the link in my bio at biggertroubleinlittlechina. There's a lot of stuff on there for free. You don't have to pay. Just join Patreon. And that's not just for this podcast. It's for all the podcasts produced by Bigger Trouble Podcasts. There are so many and more to come. But if you do want to join, you can for just £1 plus VAT a month. And that gives you so much behind-the-scenes stuff, extra episodes, early access, photos, videos, and so much more. Please check it out, patreon.com/biggertrouble. If you want to contact me, DM me on Instagram or email me at biggertroublepodcasts@yahoo.com. biggertroublepodcasts@yahoo.com. It would be great to hear from you. Please follow, rate, subscribe, and leave 5 stars on whatever platform you listen on.
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes.